January 2011. It'll be fun, they said. Don't worry, they said. It'll be easy, they said. If his new teammates and engagement coordinators thought this was easy, they'd never been the center of attention of 15 unimpressed 3 to 6-year-olds.
You have to do the voices.
Roman Kinsey paused mid-sentence and glanced up from the children's book in his lap. What?
The voices.
One of the little kiddos in attendance for Tiny Tot Storytime at the library leaned forward and tapped his book. As a professional hockey player, he was used to playing in arenas that held thousands, but being the sole focus of a bunch of ankle biters, he hadn't been this nervous since he'd played his first NHL game 4 years ago. Why did they have to look at him like they could see into his soul? Okay, he said, glancing back down at the book. On the page was a rocket ship with a cartoon face that was smiling down at a smaller rocket ship. He cleared his throat and dropped his voice an octave.
Where do you want to fly to today, son?
Asked Papa Ship. The kids giggled.
That's the wrong voice,
the same kid said. Roman clicked his tongue ring against his teeth. What does a talking spaceship sound like? There was what sounded like an aborted snort laugh behind him. He ignored it.
Like a robot, said the kid.
Yeah, all right. That made sense. He repeated the sentence using a robotic, greetings, Earthlings, kind of voice. The kids giggled again, and Little Miss Ringleader didn't object, so he kept going. His first story time wasn't awful. It helped that he didn't have to actually interact, just sit here and read from a 20-page children's book that had all of 3 sentences per page. Except Tiny Tot story time was slotted to last 30 minutes, and the only reason the rocket ship book took him 10 minutes to get through was because he read really slowly. Midway through the second book, his voice went hoarse. He hadn't talked so much in one go in a very long time. A week ago, he never would have guessed he'd be leading Tiny Tot's story time in a small-town community library. But then, a week ago, he hadn't known he was going to be traded. Happy fucking New Year to him. The shitty thing was that since the Trailblazers were such a new team, they'd played their first game last September, in such a small city, only 40,000 people, and the NHL thought Burlington, Vermont was a good place for a team? He couldn't carry on as he had in Tampa, showing up for practices and games and the required minimum amount of charity and community functions, while avoiding the press and ducking out of team bonding events. Here, he had to demonstrate community spirit. Visibility in the community, apparently, helped sell tickets. Which was how he found himself reading to a bunch of kids. As a mid-season addition to the National Hockey League's recent former Vermont Trailblazers, he didn't exactly have a lot of options to express this supposed community spirit. The engagement coordinator's list of available Trailblazer-affiliated volunteer opportunities had been slim, with story time the least unpleasant of the 3 options. Except the library in Burlington he was supposed to volunteer at had shut down temporarily for renovations, so they'd sent him instead to this tiny one in the minuscule college town of Glen Hill, about an hour southeast of Burlington. Operation Community Spirit? Check. There's no I in team, Coach Donovan had said yesterday morning upon their introductory meeting, as if Roman hadn't heard the exact same cliché from every coach he'd ever had. Roman had frowned at the poster tacked to the wall behind Coach's desk in his office at the arena, an uninspiring thing depicting a hockey puck on ice with the words, "There's no I in team," written in block letters underneath. Understood, Coach.